Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. This is Guasalada Taino Radio. This is Taino Radio, Radio Taino. Thank you all for tuning in once again. This is awesome. I can't believe it. I'm here at Lenny Lenape territory, New York City, in the headquarters of Guasalada Warrior Radio Taino. And I need to start with the weather. I'm sorry, last night we had a great show on Angels. That's right. Angels, Tainos, Habaopias. But check it out. Let's go to the Bahamas. You know, I wish I was there right now in the Bahamas. That's the first island that Christopher Columbus encountered our people. That's right. Christopher Columbus, who sold his soul for an ounce of gold. So right now, Bahamas is 68 degrees. What's going on? And it's partly cloudy. Yo, that's amazing, 68 degrees. What? Okay, let's go to another island. Oh, you know what? Let's hear it for the Calinago, Dominica. Let's see what their weather's like. I got to check them out. Hold on a second. My studio board here is going a little batty. The bats. They're trying to eat the guayaba berry. All right, so here we go. Wait. Light rain shower, 72 degrees. I have a little rain going on over there. That's right. This is Sanacori, a.k.a. Taino Sagrado. This is Guasalada Taino Radio. We're doing the weather. Let's go to Jamaica. Let's see what Jamaica is all about. Jamaica, for all you Jamaican listeners out there, is 79 degrees with light rain shower. It's always hot out there. 79 degrees. And let's go to one of my favorite spots. So, Montego Bay, am I pronouncing it right? Or Mandingo?
Mandingo.
It's also in Jamaica. Wait a minute, what's that?
Mandingo
Wait, I hear voices.
Bay.
Wait, I hear some voices. Wait a minute, are we still in the paranormal show or what? Wait a minute.
Hey,
we have
Cody.
Stephanie Sky. What's up, Stephanie? How you doing?
¿Qué es lo que es? ¿Qué pasa? ¿Cómo está?
Straight out of the great island of Long Island. Wait a minute. Is it Montego Bay or Montego?
Montego.
Montego? Oh, I spelled it wrong.
Montego, yeah.
I got to check those people out, Montego Bay. Or is that Montego?
Montego.
Right, man. Well, check it out. I was never good in weather, but hey, it's 79 degrees there. It's also a light rain shower. Jamaica has some rain showers going on. Hey, man, check out Punta Cana. That's right. Even though coronavirus is striking hard, well, I know some folks out there social distancing in Punta Cana. Beautiful beaches out there. Let's see what they're all about. What? They got some patchy rain. Wow. 62 degrees. What? 62 degrees. I don't think anyone's skinny dipping over there tonight. What do you think?
No. I don't think anybody's skinny dipping tonight, Sanacori. Not there. You know what?
Not there.
They
right?
Might. The heat of the moment, it might heat it up for them. I don't know.
Well, it's the Caribbean Islands, man. Whatever happens in Cantigo Bay stays in Cantigo Bay. Wait a minute, I just got a news flash. San Juan, Puerto Rico, Borinquen,
hey,
has moderate. That's right, Borinquen. They have a heavy rain shower. Oh, man. You know what? If you have those, what they call it, the roof, if they have that.
The tin roof, yeah.
Yeah, you know they're going to sleep well tonight with that light rain, you know,
mm-hmm.
the shower.
Yeah.
Well, they got 78 degrees.
Del coquí también. Ajá, exacto, eso mismo.
Well, let me tell you, son, the coquis will be skinny dipping tonight because that's what they're doing, you know. They're checking it out, the night shows. The coqui, that's the mating song.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that, right? I don't know. Let's check out one more island. Let me see. Let me look
what
at the islands
DR?
Here. Oh, no, I did. Punta Cana is in DR. It's one of the famous beaches
did.
There.
Punta Cana in DR.
Yeah. You know what? I'm kind of feeling nostalgic. You know, like, you know, a good 3,000 years ago, the Mayans came to the islands. So let's check out Belize,
Vamos a ver
Central
Mexico.
America.
Ah, Belize.
Yeah, Central America. The Mayans from Central America came over and went to Cuba. They got some patchy rain, too, with thunder. Wow, Guatauba, the semi, Guatauba has the thunder. There you go. It's 78 degrees. 78 degrees. Now, let me see. Let's check out. Wait, we didn't say Cuba.
We didn't
say Cuba. What's going on with me? Yeah, so let's see. Let's check out Cuba. I'm looking at the maps here. I got the weather. And, wow, that's interesting, Cuba. Well, what's your prediction about Cuba? You think it's going to be cloudy or what? What do you think? It's a lot of rain going on over there.
Yeah, there's a lot of rain going on just in that area completely. So, I mean, maybe.
Yeah. Well, check
maybe
this out.
Rain.
Check this out. It's
maybe
partly
a little,
cloudy.
A
and
little
how,
bit of Bonaya. There you go. See, Bonaya.
There you go.
Name.
A lot of Bonaya. But in Havana, it's partly cloudy, man. It's 79 degrees. Precipitation is 2%. Can you believe that? But
yeah.
The humidity is 100%. So I don't know, man. It sounds kind of hot.
That sounds about right. It's,
that's sticky.
That sounds about right. Mm-hmm.
You know, Stephanie Sky, I want to give a shout out once again to the United States of America. We're going through a hard time because we got a crazy president who thinks it's all right to walk around without a mask and not social distance. Mm. But guess what? November 3rd, hopefully some good things are going to happen. But check this out. We're still in first place in listeners. And
nice.
Canada is coming in strong. Canada, that's right. And also
all right.
The Netherlands is still up there, the Netherlands. And you know what? I don't know what it is, man, but I got to give a shout-out to Bosnia because Bosnia is tuning in to
Bosnia
all our shows.
Again?
That's right,
right,
Bosnia. So I thank all you, Morocco. Nigeria is still hanging in tough. Dominican Republic, Borinquen, Russia. I know there's some Tainos in Russia, man. That's dope. Russia's tuning in, you know.
Tainos in Russia. Maybe that's
yep.
The Wi-Fi but, Lou is.
That's right. He's still missing. What's up with him? What's up with Wi-Fi Lou? I don't get it. Wait, hold on.
Maybe he's there with Spooky Lou too.
That's right. Wait a minute. I think, wait a second. That number is familiar, and I think it's Wi-Fi Lou, a.k.a. Spooky Lou. Spooky, what's up? How you doing?
Who's that? I know I heard something.
All right, that wasn't him. I'm sorry. But check it out. I got some emails from the Canadian Indigenous First Nations people, okay? So I'd like to give them a shout-out for the support. And it's going to be some good news in the future. Well, I don't want to say it yet. I don't want to jinx it, but we're going to have a special interview soon with a Canadian First Nation media expert. Okay?
That sounds
exciting. So for that reason, I want to play a Tribe Called Red. Okay? For all you Canadians
hey,
out there.
One of my
First
favorites.
Nations. That's right. A Tribe Called Red. Right, and in future shows, I'm going to play a little music from all these different countries that have been tuning in. So let's give Canada a shout out this time.
Hey!
called Red. This song is called The Stadium Powwow, and it's featuring Black Bear. What do you think about that? What do you thought about that, Stephanie?
Oh, I love The Tribe Called Red. Electric Powwow.
Oh, word up?
Favorite. Yeah. Electric Powwow.
Oh, look at
my favorites.
Oh, man, that is awesome. Well, we're representing Canada today. You know, getting some good vibes out there. I know it's probably a little cold out there. But guess what? It's all right, man. We got the songs coming every week, okay? I'm going to try to get some traditional songs from each country represented, okay? And
that should be good.
Hey, Stephanie, I got some good feedback about the Angels, you know?
That's good.
Yeah, and a lot of people who are Christian and Taino, they really appreciated that. And hey, we don't discriminate. You know, we try to help out.
I'm glad they could see that find that balance. Because I know the show that we had about demons, some people were not happy. So I'm glad there's some kind of balance, you know.
That's it. And then Lucifer showed up again last night, right?
Right.
But, you know, a lot of people will worry about that. But check it out. Someone have recommended some literature on angels and how they connect to the opias, you know, spirits. And it's almost the same. Their theory is almost the same, you know. And, you know, these are not human beings. But the only thing is that the Taino, when they looked at the individual, once they pass on, they become an ancestral being, but they also have a value. You know, they're just not dead. They have a value. And in a future show, we're going to talk about that, how and we already touched upon a little bit about the human person, the concept of the human person in Taino worldview, but there's also a concept of the dead as well, and they have it. So, so for the angels, it was a kind of cool show, right?
I like
it. Wait a minute.
Let's find out.
Wait a minute. It's supposed to be an indigenous show. What's going on? The angels,
somebody's going to call us blasphemous.
Okay, that's what you call the dualism, right?
Right. That's the best example of dualism.
But I don't know, man. I think the whole angel thing, it was kind of cool. You know, there's a whole concept of spirits, you know, looking out for us and so on. But tonight, we're going to have a special show, okay? All the shows are special, right? But we're gonna talk about DNA, and I just want the audience to listen to this because this is not rehearsed. Right? This is straight up talk. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to, if you got your laptop there, Stephanie, can you log on to GEDmatch? GED match?
You want me to
is that possible?
GEDmatch, you got it. Yeah, sure.
All right. Okay. You know, this show is all about transparency because we're trying to destroy ignorance. We're trying to destroy arrogance in the true warrior way, warriorship. And that means that we share the knowledge, right? We don't keep knowledge to ourselves. This is all free, you know. I don't charge any memberships. I don't charge, you know, we don't charge anything. We just want to share the knowledge. But for the past couple of years, this whole DNA has been amazing. And just let me know when you're logged in.
You got it.
All right. So let me, oh my God, you're locked, oh jeez, I was logged in. Now I have to log back in. Do you have access to your messenger?
Yeah.
All right, I want to send you something on your messenger now. And I have to log in somehow.
No problem, I'm one dead match.
All right, so type that in, I just gave you there some numbers. You can type that in, right? And I have to log in. Well, this is pure.
No problem.
This is pure like live, you know? We haven't rehearsed this at all. Do you see it?
Okay, I have it. So we're going to do autosomal, or you want to do xDNA?
Well, this is what I want you to do, because this is something. I want you to go to, okay, we're at jetmatch.com. You have to download your raw DNA to this site. Then they give you a kit number. So I just gave Stephanie my kit number. Now I want you to go to at Mixture Heritage, okay?
Okay.
All right. Now I want you to select
you
a project. And do you have a favorite project there? Have you used any of these projects?
I've gone through all of them.
Which is your favorite one? These are like calculators, you know.
One.
All right, you know what? So click
the
on
Dodecad, I believe, is the one that I've used the most for people when I do genealogy for them.
All right, let's click on that. Let's click on that one.
Okay.
And let's keep it on at Mixture Proportions, right? With link to Oracle. When you click on that.
All right.
And let's continue.
Let's go ahead and put
what
in
we're doing. I want the audience to understand what we're doing. This we're doing this together. And we're looking at my DNA profile, my at Mr. Heritage, right? I think we can do this together, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a calculator?
I'm sure.
Let's do the DudaCat. Let's do the World 9. How about that? Can we do World 9? Or should we keep it?
Yeah.
All right, let's do World 9. That's a calculator here in JetMatch. And then let's press continue. Let's see. We're doing mine right now. I'm going to ask you some questions, all right?
Sure.
I mean, according to a little bit of back.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, tell me. Go ahead. Go for it. Tell the audience.
A little bit of back history. What we're doing right now and what a big conversation in Indigenous life is right now, especially the Taino community, is trying to find ways to not only self-identify, but statistically show proof of your heritage, your lineage, because
right.
North American tribes do blood quantums, which is a specified percentage of traceable Indigenous blood and history within your genetic compound. And the Caribbean Indigenous groups don't have that method because, for all intents and purposes, they thought we were exterminated. So right now, one of the biggest debates going on is how can I identify as Taino and prove that I have some lineage towards being Taino? So now we have groups like Family Tree DNA, Ancestry.com,
right.
23andMe that all provide
right.
genealogical breakdowns of what makes you on a chromosomal level. And they've managed to break down, in comparison, the way that our chromosomes match certain specified areas according to their scientific research. So specifically, Ancestry.com has now formulated enough DNA samples to be able to specify Indigenous Caribbean and expand it into Indigenous Haitian, Dominican, Indigenous Cuban, Indigenous Puerto Rican, and that allows the people examining their DNA, it affords them the opportunity to be able to say, okay, here is my link. And then they have the opportunities to go in and do paper research for anybody whose family history wasn't burned down when they were burning down the churches to try and eliminate the censuses in specifically
right.
in Puerto Rican. So it provides them a way to have something tangible to carry them on through their journey. And GEDmatch is a non-for-profit,
right?
It's a non-for-profit organization that yeah. allows you to compare your DNA with DNA from everywhere around the world. So what you do is exactly what Sanakori said. You get your Ancestry.com or your 23andMe.com raw DNA, download it in a file. You upload it to this website, and, you know, you go through all of your security options so that your information is not compromised or shared. You put the information in, and it matches you with any and everybody on the website that can be a genetic match with you. And by that, of course, we're going to go through it. It goes by chromosomes. So every chromosome is then broken down into CMs, and every CM is then broken down into SNPs. And I guess, you know, if we have time later, we can explain how that works. But for the most part, genetically, it breaks down how you're related and the capacity that you're related in. But it also allows you to connect with other people and find more information about your specific set of DNA. So what Sanakori is doing now is he's already gone through the process where he did a genealogical test with his own DNA. He uploaded his raw DNA to GEDmatch, and now that generates a kit number, which is your basic identification number. And we're putting in the information to what he said would be the World 9 admixture. And basically what that does is it breaks down in a cute little pie graph different areas of where you could be from. Now, this information is going to be very different from what you may have received from your 23andMe or from your ancestry, because this is information compiled from numerous areas with different DNA and different structures. So the people who do decide that they want to go through this process, please make sure that you understand that this is not law. This is not set in stone. This is just for informational purposes and to provide additional insight into what you have genetically embedded in you. It does not change what you identify as, change who you are or what you're made of. These are just additional statistical properties that coincide with your genomes. So don't say, oh, you know, I did GEDmatch and it's completely different from my ancestry.com and now it's a crock of, you know, lies and I can't trust it. That's not it. And for anybody who does have questions about their DNA and they they would like additional clarity, they can always email us, and I'm sure Sanakori or I will be able to assist them through their process or their journey. So now that
That's
we
right.
have the backstory of exactly what we're doing, I have your
That's
World
it, man.
Mixture up, and we can go ahead and go through it.
Well, Stephanie, that's why we have you on the show, you know? This is great. You give all these nice details. Well, you know, I'm already in alphabet Z, I'm letter Z, you know, but you're trying to trying to break it down, you know. I'm trying to get the Z, but
hey,
that's
we gotta balance
cool.
each other out. Remember duality. That's what it's all about.
Wait, what you mean, duality?
Yeah. You in a rush, I'm not.
What's up with these angels, man?
Not me.
Yo, we got the angels coming in. What's going on? All right, so it's all right. Oh, I also want to give a little shout out to 23andMe, because 23andMe, they give haplogroups, you know, and the haplogroups give the migration story, you know, and that's awesome. I love haplogroups. We can talk later about that. But did you log in? Did you get into World 9?
I have the whole population up right now.
All right. Now, check this out. Let's go to the single population sharing. Now, let's go to the first one, I guess. So you tell me, how do you interpret this, the first one?
So on your population, the first thing that pops up is going to be a Mary Indian. And it says that it is 16.91%.
Right. Now, I was told, hold on if I'm correct, that if anyone has Asian, and you can add that in there too, the percentage with Asia. Is that correct? Well, I got a little East
Asian in here, a little bit.
So I'm in third place there, but I'm going to talk. You know, I'm going to say it right now. You know, a lot of these companies, they always put first place, second place, third place, you know. But if you're looking at the numbers, American Indian should be in first place if you flip the numbers, you know, because I have Atlantic Baltic. I got the Southern, I guess the Southern Europe, you know. You know, according to my 23andMe, my indigenous blood, my indigenous ancestors started mixing in the 1700s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyone that comes after the 1700s, either Atlantic, Baltic, or Southern Spain, that's a recent addition to my DNA, right? To my pool, right?
Right.
The markers. So why isn't my DNA, which is like, goes back to like what? My haplogroup is A2, goes back to 60,000 years. You know, what's up with that, you know? 60,000 years compared to 300 years? 17, 18, 19, 20. What's up with that? What do you think about that? You know, that always gets me upset how these companies, they always put the Europeans first. But what happened to 60,000 years of migration?
I think, honestly, everything is just so standardized where the Eurocentric idea of Europeanism is always thought to be pristine, you know, so it's always placed as first. Because for a lot of these, it's usually always European first, and then they give you African, and then they give you the Asian, and then they go and break it down into additional other factors. It could also be because when they first started this process, it was either you're European or you're African, or there's a mix of European and African, and that was the end of
right.
it. So they may have never updated the I guess, structure that they have, and nobody's ever questioned it. So, I mean, for the most part, you know,
right.
we have to count our battles. Right. We can do that. But, you know, we take the battles that we can win and the things that can get left on the back burner for later dates and later times, you know, we fight those when we have the opportunities. But I definitely have noticed it because I took Ancestry.com and it was the same thing. European does come up first and then the African comes in after that. I'm pretty sure I uploaded my DNA to FamilyTree DNA as well. And it's the same thing. They went European first and then African after that and then Asian and then Native, Indigenous. So it seems
they have
to be
like
the common thread.
But they have like a Christian notion of the last will be first. You know, Jesus had mentioned that. The last will be first. All right, angels, get back to get back. These angels, man. So for us indigenous people, the last is not first. You know, the first nations are first. Good. How about that one? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at the population, right? You're looking at the percentage. Now, in 23andMe, it's kind of interesting. They said the oldest DNA is Native American. They put Native American. And then they break it down to, hold on a second. They break it down to Borinquen and Cuba, you know?
Oh,
so
nice.
I have a lot of Cuban admixture, yeah. So, but check this out. They said that the first non-indigenous person that mixed with that Native American was African hunter and gatherer.
I believe it.
Okay. And then after that, Senegambian and Guinean. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that was a Southern East African. You know? And then the first European was six generations ago was Greek and Balkan. Greek.
Then, and Balkan.
Yeah.
Huh.
Which is, I guess, is the Atlantic Baltic. Does that
right.
make sense?
That
the Atlantic, which is first percent, which is in first place in jet match, which is
40.95% for you, yeah.
Yeah. And in 23andMe, it's saying they came in the sixth generation. The Native American was eight generations back. So what's going on here, you know? Right, you know, they,
well,
and yet they're in first place. According to this, they're in fifth place. Go ahead.
So DNA is funny. The breakdown of DNA itself is a
Tell us.
involved concept, because when you think about it, right, you only have two places that you can get DNA from, and that's your mom and your dad, right?
Right.
But your mom gets it from her mom and her dad. So by the time your grandparents' DNA gets to you, you can either have all of one thing that travels from one person. So you can get your dad's complete chromosome 15, right? And it can go from your mom completely, you know, complete chromosome 15 or complete genetic marker for Boriken, right? Directly from your dad goes down to your mom, and she can pass it 100% down to you. But then there's also the more regular chance of your grandfather had 36%, you know, Taino in him. And because of the mixture between your dad and your mom, now your mom only has 13%. And then the mix between your mom and your dad brings you down to 3%, you know.
Wow.
Or sometimes your mom can have 13%, your dad can have 27%, and you have 26%. That whole 26% doesn't come just from your dad. You know, it could be a mixture of your mom and your father, you know, genetically, or it could be direct lineage only from him. So when it comes down to the way that they break down the information, Ancestry and 23andMe, it gets really detailed as far as their percentages go based off of the chromosomal markers. But GEDmatch breaks down your DNA literally chromosome by chromosome, because they afford you the opportunity to have CMs and SNPs. And like I said, CMs and SNPs are what really constitutes the construction of what your chromosome is, you know, chromosome by chromosome. So I guess the easiest way, just so that I guess everybody has the context necessary, the easiest way to understand what SNPs and CMs are is basically, first and foremost, is how you calculate the generational connections. And the best way to explain it is the idea of a chocolate bar and sprinkles. So you know how when you go to the store and you unwrap a Hershey's bar, right? You can break it up into all these little squares. So if you share, you know, X amount of segments before you break your, you know, before your first break, and then Y amount of segments before your next break, that's what your centimorgans are. So a centimorgan is going to be every little square of chocolate before the line that breaks it in half, all right? And then all of those little sprinkles that you have on top of it, that's what your S&Ps are. Those are the little things inside of that little piece of chocolate that still has, you know, drops of DNA, drops of like heritage and genetic markers inside of it. So if you break down your chromosome 15 into, let's hypothetically say, 1,000 pieces, right, within every 1,000, every piece inside of those one DNA inside of each and every single solitary segment. So one section might have something from your dad, and then 27 segments later, you have something from your mom, but those trace back generations, you know, to AD, you know, whatever AD time you want to talk about, because there is archaic DNA that we carry in our chromosomes.
That's right.
So it gives you so much more information when you upload it through GEDmatch. So when people talk about generational matches, because Sana Cody and I, like I said, we both have GEDmatch. We both did the genetic testing. Sana Cody and I actually tested our kids together, and we're related. Sana Cody and I are cousins, and we found out, you know, I think it's, what, 4.7 generations behind us. So roughly the 1800s is where we share our first relatives. And the opportunity that we have in looking through our DNA and seeing that all the way back in the 1800s, we share our first family member that now, you know, 200 years later is making us family. That's the power of the education behind DNA and the science behind understanding what DNA is. So it takes a large amount of patience to really sit down and dissect the idea of DNA. And that's why so many people are so curious now, because they're taking this information and they're just like, where's the history? Where's the paperwork? Where's the paper trail? And for people like us, you know, natives that have been put through situations where they tried to erase our history and they tried to erase our people, they tried to eradicate us, they did that by paper genocide, the same as physical genocide against our bodies. And they tried to erase all of our records. So now the only things that we have to rely on is our DNA. So at the end of the day, when somebody says, what makes me indigenous? Yes, your spirit, your heart, the lifestyle that you live, that makes you indigenous. You know, the connection that you have with your ancestors makes you indigenous. It makes you native. It allows the ancestors to watch you and protect you. But genetically, you have a means of self-identification and, for some people, self-validation, because they need that.
Exactly.
They need that piece of tangible evidence to say, yeah, this is me and here's the proof, regardless of how small it is.
That's true. That's it. That's the key. We need these tools. We need as many tools as we can get, right, to help our self-determination, and to help others realize, to wake up, right, to rise up. Right?
Absolutely.
There's
a cute little
heritage.
Phrase in Taino, Arayeke, the people will rise.
Ah, you've been improving in your Taino language. That's cool.
All the time, every day.
Well, let's check this out. You see where it says single population sharing in GetMatch, Steven says? Right below it? It says population source and distance.
Ah,
see
yes,
that?
Yes, yeah.
It says PUR 30, which is, you know, Puerto Rican, and the distance is 5.05, right? So I assume that this percentage here is the distance. You know, it's saying that I'm Puerto Rican, right? And then number two,
I believe
it's
so.
Saying Puerto Rican, right? So I guess, which is 11.28. Now, I'm not sure. I'm not too sure what CLM means. You know that?
I'm not too savvy with that one, no.
Yeah, we got to look that up. I never saw that one before. But then it says 19.39. It's Brazilian. It got me as Brazilian. And then it got me as Colombian, you know?
Colombiano,
so,
right
now we're getting a little indicator here of Brazilian indigenous, right? We're looking at migration, looking at Colombian, right? Then you got the Canaries, you got Italian, and Romanian. Well, that kind of matches my what 23andMe says. But in 23andMe says, by the time, like a couple of hundred years ago, the Italians showed up and the North Africans showed up. You know?
That makes sense.
Yep. And the last one that showed up in my genes 3 generations ago was the Spanish. So I didn't get Spanish till way later. You know what I mean?
I'm right there with you. Look, Spanish didn't show up in my DNA or in my family tree, my family history, until about the early 1900s. So it just fortifies, it further fortifies the reason why I don't like being called Spanish. I'm not Spanish. I don't identify as Spanish. If you want to identify me as anything, I am Taino.
Yep.
And everything else that I'm mixed with, but never Spanish.
I know a lot of people say, hey, we're Hispanic, you know. Oh, hey, we're Latin, Latino.
That bothers me so much. I don't like that.
Well, just look at the DNA. They're the last people that showed up, and now I'm Hispanic? Come on, man.
Exactly. You know? More than likely, they were Portuguese or Italian before they were Spanish. So cut it out. We're not Spanish at all. Don't call us Spanish. That's not what we are. We're not Latino. We're not Latinx. We are indigenous. That's what we are.
Now check this out.
Indigenous.
We are indigenous. That's right. Indio. And the islands say
that's
Indio.
Right.
But check it out.
Yes.
Look at the last box. It says mixed mode population sharing. So now they're going to mix up. And they say primary population is, man, I got PUR30, Puerto Rican, all the way down, right? So the calculator is saying, yeah, this guy's Puerto Rican. But what does Puerto Rican mean? It's saying it's matching me with other Puerto Ricans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, look at the secondary population. What do you think about that? Can you read the first one so people can understand?
Oh, wait, I just came off the screen. Hold on.
Secondary population source.
Hold on, because I'm going to have to re-enter all of this.
Oh, that's right. You want me to say it?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Well, on the first line, the very first line, it says I'm 87.2% Puerto Rican, right? And then on the other line, it says the secondary population. Huh?
I said talk about fortifying numbers. That's a,
yep.
That's a big number.
And now the calculator is saying I'm 12.8% Mexican.
Mexicano.
And then, yep. And then the second line is saying I'm 89.7% Puerto Rican. Secondary is 10.3% Ecuadorian.
Oh, wow.
And then it says Mayan.
Really, I need to go through this with all of mine.
Yep, it says Mayan. Then it says Pima, Caritiana, Suruí, Colombian, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at migration right here. I'm looking at the haplogroup B, which is the Andean Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the people that populated Vieques, the island of Vieques. We find their art in Vieques circa 2,000 years ago. Then the Mayan, that's my Cuban connection probably, the Mayan.
Right.
They came from Central America. And I got Pima, Caritiana, Colombian. So I'm looking at the Arawakan influence there, right? So I got the Arawakan, the Mayan, the Andean, and the Mexican. And the Mexico is North American, right? That's the North American migration.
Right.
You know? So, you know, this, when I first saw this, I was like, whoa. And they're coming up first place, you know? Coming
right.
up all in first place, which tells me that my markers, my DNA, you know, forget about that first sharing, which had me as Baltic first. This is Puerto Rican, Mexico, Ecuadorian, Mayan, Pima, Caritiana, Suruí, Colombia, you know? So I'm looking at a better picture, right? Of,
I think so.
Right? Because these are close distances, and then it goes further out. It goes further. I got East Greenland, West Greenland. And you know what's interesting? When I saw Greenland, I tried to match it with 23andMe, and guess what came up?
What?
Five to eight generations ago, there was a Scandinavian that mixed in my blood gene. Scandinavian. Mm. So there you go. There's Greenland. You see it? And there's a whole bunch of other indigenous from Europe as well. So I love Dip Match. This mix. If you who are listening to me right now, if you look up the mixed mole population sharing, I believe this is the true indicator of your indigeneity, you know what I mean? Not like when you first get your kit, they show you 40% European or whatever. This is flipping the chart upside down, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but as you can see, there's a lot of indigenous mixing there, right?
There's
the Mayan, the Andean.
And we knew that for the most part, especially we're surrounded by water. We had to go everywhere. You know, we met with other people.
Yep.
We had contact with other people. You know, we were advanced civilizations. What we don't get credited for. Nobody credits us for all of the advancements that we had as people, as indigenous people. And we're completely overlooked. But we were some of the most advanced civilizations and cultures at that time, and still to this day, some of the things that we did were so progressive that we can't even replicate them at these in particular points in time.
Exactly.
So, you know, respect your native people, man. We really have some secrets. You know, we really understand how the world works and what we need to do to provide that continuity and that equity for the people, for, you know, generations to come. It's embedded in us genetically, clearly, as you see from this conversation. You know, it's embedded in us. We do these things naturally.
No doubt. You know what? I want you to go back a little bit. I'm going to give you a... Can you go back and click on Oracle 4? Do you see Oracle 4? Click on Oracle 4, Ancestral Oracle. For anyone who's listening right now, Jet Match is really cool. You can have fun with this.
Yeah, you can. I've lost myself for hours. In Jet Match, especially when I first learned about how to break down the SMPs and the CMs and going through archaic DNA.
Until
3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, before we go, we got to go to the ancient one. But look, do you see it? You clicked onto it?
We're in 4 right now.
All right, now go down to 4, using 4 populations approximations. You see that?
Yes. Brazilian.
Actually, go to
2,
2 population exclamation. That has me as 50% Puerto Rican and 50% CLM30. I got to find out what that is. I think it's Colombian. And you see the 3 populations?
Yeah, North
it has
Italian,
me as,
Dominican. Dominicano, mira eso.
Yo, let me tell you, that's a migration, Dominican Republic, Quisqueya, Haiti, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it has me as Ecuadorian. Now check
Ecuadorian.
It out, look at the 4 populations. And this is where I think you can see a nice picture of migration.
Yeah.
The very first line, got Brazilian, Italian, Dominican, Ecuadorian. And then you just skim it. You got Colombian, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Ecuadorian, and there's the Moroccan. All you people out here listening to Morocco, from Morocco, guess what? I got some Moroccan DNA. You see it?
He does.
No coincidence. And then you see it says Dominican, Ecuadorian. You see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dominican, Colombian.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some more Moroccan. Ecuadorian. And there's Dominican, Ecuadorian. See, this is you're looking at migration stories right here, you know?
Yeah.
Our ancestors left their blueprints, you know? So I'm looking at haplogroup B, which is Andean. I'm looking at haplogroup C, which is the Arawakan from Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at haplogroup A, which is, hold on a second. Was on this one is mostly B, and then the Dominican is probably the haplogroup A. But you see all the Dominican I got. What's up with that, man? Yo,
right? Que lo que, hey, I can't talk to you like a Puerto Rican no more. I gotta talk to you like a Dominican.
Oh man, que me dice amor, huh? Yo, check it out. Let's go to the front. See, I can say it because I'm Dominican. What's up, nah? Check it out. Check it out. Okay, let's go back to the beginning, right? We're running out of time.
Okay, we're home.
Okay,
right.
Really fast. You
let's
see
go.
Where it says the archaic?
Yep.
I'm going to put my kit number.
Matches.
You put it too. You
I'm already there. Are you going to use 5.5 cm?
Should
or
I?
Do you want to go up? Well,
I never tried that
cm
before.
Is the smallest that you can do.
So okay, so let's leave it there.
Generational link, you leave it at 7, anything under 7, and between 3 and 7 cm, it's viable to an extent. Anything under that is less likely for you to actually have a direct genetic match, but still have traces of the DNA in your chromosomes.
Okay, now
so
I have a question.
As low as 0.5 or more. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have a question. You see all the oranges and stuff, all the orange colors?
What CM did you use?
Oh, 0.5. Sorry. Is that the one?
Okay. 0.5. Okay, estoy ahí. Ya, vete. ¿Qué pasa?
You see that? I'm going to do this real fast. But you see all the orange?
I do.
Now, will you see a lot of the black colors?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that like the sparkles you were talking about before? When you like you see a little slit. That's
so
those are influences,
in the
right?
DNA. Some of it, the black, everything that shows up in black, anything that comes in GEDMAC that is black, it does not have a link with you. Anything that is colored does. For the archaic DNA,
right,
they can't break it down to show you the amount of S&Ps because the DNA is so old. So
right,
they can.
But it shows the orange. So what's the orange? So what's
the
orange?
The CM. So that's that little chocolate bar that I was talking about in theory.
Right.
So that whole little piece of chocolate is this orange piece that's lit up. So if we did this and we compared yours and mine, you would see a lot more colors in it because we have more recent DNA to compare. And then those little pieces in between those chunks of blue, those would be the little sprinkles that you have on the chocolate. So it's all those little things that are included inside of your DNA. So you'll have that little brick of chocolate, which is 1 cm maybe, you know, and inside of that, you know, that's where our hair is brown and it matches. It's a little sprinkle in that little square, you know, or, you know, somos trigueño. So that's a little sprinkle inside that square, you know, and we got that from that family member of ours from the 1800s, 4.5 generations ago.
Now, can I ask you a question? You can see I got the Siberian. It's very little, though. But as you get deeper, you got the, like in Montana, the Clovis is more orange, right?
Clovis.
You see that?
Right. Yeah, I match the Clovis.
So, it's more of a match.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. Go back. Go back, all right?
Okay.
I'm going to... Because I know this by heart. Let's go one-to-one. Autosomal DNA comparison.
Okay.
1-to-1 autosomal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put my kit number.
Mm-hmm.
And, damn, it didn't pop up. 6. Okay. Now I'm going to put Clovis, the Clovis boy, which they said
ah,
is the
Clovis
the Clovis culture, right? Huh?
Mm-hmm. No, I was
which
saying
is F9.
Mm-hmm.
F999919. So I want to compare my kit with Clovis. And I want the listeners to hear this. I'm comparing ancient DNA, mine and his. It was a little boy that was buried 12,500 years ago, right?
Yes.
You see where it says maximum CM size? I'm going
to
put 1.
You're going to bring it down to 3. Bring it down to 3.
3?
I don't think they're going to let you
3.
Do it. I don't think you could do 1.
Okay, so let's compare it.
There you go. So you match on chromosome 1, you match on chromosome 5, you match on chromosome 11, 12, 15, 19, and 22. Your largest level of CM is 7.2. You have 9 shared segments and a whole bunch of S&Ps.
What does that tell you?
So it shows that genetically speaking, you have a connection to this archaic DNA for a little boy that was found in Montana who was indigenous. And it seems like that migration pattern from Siberia or Serbia over through Canada and down into the U.S., you know, migration towards moving towards Mexico, going down. It proves that theory because, you know, that's a theory between a lot of anthropologists that the migrational patterns from Europe came in this direction. And it fortifies the idea of it. You know, you have a genetic correspondence, a genetic connection that is proven through genetic testing.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I first saw this, I was helping people match with Clovis Boy.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, so happy because this is the oldest relative that I can scientifically prove, right? This is the oldest relative I have, 12,500. Now, here's the key. You match with Clovis, too, right?
I do. I match with Clovis.
And we're cousins.
I also match with the Lucayan woman who was the first identified Taino woman.
Do you have her number? Do you have her kit number?
I can get it quickly, I believe.
Because I want to match her. So this is, I want people to understand this. Back in 1993, I was able to meet the Crow Nation folks, and I had a fun time. I went back to 1997. I eventually became, there was a Crow elder. His name was Irvin Singsgood Stewart. When I explained to him the situation about our people, the Taino, that due to the invasion in 1492, we lost so much. Our culture was decimated, especially our traditions, our ceremonial traditions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he gifted me with the sweat lodge ceremony, the purification lodge ceremony. He says, bring this to your people. Bring this to the Taino, you know. And I was overwhelmed with emotion, you know. And then I was in 97. Throughout the years, I performed this ceremony. And the thing that was cool, when I saw Clovis, that he's buried in Montana, talk about a complete circle, right? I managed to go back to I was so close, you know. I was in Montana, Crow Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it's like,
Alden,
wow,
your,
man.
Your number.
Okay, let me put it in.
All right, let me know when
okay,
you're ready.
Okay, what is it? All right, go ahead.
It's
go for
Q.
It.
It's Queen,
Q?
King.
Wait. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Say okay, the first one is Q.
Q, K. So Queen King, 81-02-408. So for any of the listeners that want to go into Dead Match and see if they match with the Lucayan woman, which is the first Taino woman, that is her kit number, and you can put that in your autosomal one-to-one, one-to-many kit search and see, you know, put your CMs down to 3 so that you can make sure that you get a viable connection and hit the compare button to see if you do match.
Oh, tell me, what's going on here?
So here you go. Sanakori, you match on chromosome 1, 5, 9, 10, 12, 20. So you have a pretty good connection to the Lucayan woman as well, who was found in
She's a relative.
So shout out to the Bahamas. That's right.
Hey, I think the weather.
Family.
Bahamas weather.
Right. Shout out to the Bahamas.
Wow, look at that, man. This is just overwhelming. See, DNA, don't be afraid of it, guys and gals out there. DNA is very helpful. It gives us an insight of the migration story, you know? And it also gives us an insight that we are indigenous Caribbean.
And we are
here.
We were not
That's
extinct.
Right.
We are not extinct. Our ancestors made it, you know, far enough for us to be able to be here. So honor that. Honor that with the history and the lessons that come with it. Even if you have absolutely no interest in trying to find out who you are, get the information, learn the information, and provide that information to your children, if you have children, your nieces, your nephews, whoever it is
exactly.
that you care about, because they might want that information. One day, this might be something that models them and molds them into something so much better than what they could have already been. And you would be the reason to do that. Keep the traditions going, because they try to completely eradicate us as people. North American
That's
families,
right.
you know, North American cousins and our Caribbean indigenous, even our African, you know, tribal nations, they try to exterminate us every way, shape, or form. Don't
That's right.
let our history be eradicated because you decided that you didn't want to be educated on it. It's so important.
And listen, Stephanie Skye, beyond a reasonable doubt, putting you on the spot, you did an amazing job trying to explain what this whole DNA is about. And hey,
well,
people may
you,
not believe
you,
it, but I put you on. I put you on the spot. So, but like every show, time goes really fast. I'd like to thank all the viewers who listen, either live or all your future listeners who downloaded the show. Thank you so much. The show is going to grow. We're doing a lot of research, so we can have some future shows together. But tonight, right now, it's 11:03. So what I want to do is I want to play one song written by the late Edward Cedeno. Let's give a shout out to our original origin stories, which is Atabe, who gave birth to humanity, gave birth to creation. And this song was written by Edwin Cedeno and his Taino CD, and it's called the Atabe song. So let's end the show with Atabe. Thank you, Stephanie Sky. I'll see you soon.
Thank you, thank you. Have a good night, guys.
Boma tu.
Atabe ra gua gua bibi gua gua ra bibi. Atabe ra gua gua bibi gua gua ra ba ba. Atavera wa, wa shuimako.